Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, I began a message I've entitled Sowing to the Spirit, and I shared Galatians 6:8. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I shared a number of verses found in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and we are wanting to focus on one of the works of the flesh, if you will, emulations. Other translations will say, that's in verse 21, envyings or jealousy. And the root word of that means to strive to equal or excel. It's ambition. That's the primary motivation for it. And it just basically means ambitious or envious rivalry. And that was the first sin to ever enter the universe, as I shared yesterday. That was Lucifer, who wanted to ascend above the throne of the Most High. And he wanted to rival God and was able to succeed in drawing a third of the angels away with him in that rebellion. That's when sin entered the universe, and the root cause of it was pride. He was lifted up by reason of his beauty. In fact, he was perfect in beauty, perfect, until the day that iniquity was found in him. I believe Isaiah says that. There's a reference to him there. But what we want to look at is, what is the Lord telling us in the book of Galatians? And before I do that, though, I want to read 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 7. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. And this is what he's saying, that ye may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And so here he's addressing the spirit of pride and ambition and competition that can occur in relationships, perhaps in the home, sibling rivalry, on the job, in various relationships, even in church relationships. And we need to understand how God thinks about that. He says that ye may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And then in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, we are to walk in humility and not in pride. God opposes the pride. He hates pride. And this is so much of what we see going on in the world today. It is ruled by competition, and there's deception and corruption in the political systems of the day. We're all working, those that are involved in government behind the scenes, for a new world order, basically to put in place what the scriptures say will occur at the end times. And sometimes they will say, well, you know, we need to have everybody, we want everyone to prosper, we want everyone equal, we want to all share alike, we need to distribute the wealth. This is the agenda of the liberals and the progressive of the New World Order. And this is what they desire, except it doesn't include them, it doesn't apply to them. They can have the wealth and they have the power to be able to rule everybody else because we don't have the proper resources, the mentality to make decisions or to think for ourselves. So obviously, those that are going down that road have the characteristics of Satan, who really felt in pride that he could rule the universe in a way better than God could. Of course, he found that was not going to work. And if anyone with any sense is like, how could a created being think he's going to challenge the creator of the universe? Anyway, we see that that's how the corrupting and the deceiving influence of pride is. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." In other words, they have a very strong and positive opinion of themselves. And I'm not speaking now in a healthy way. I'm speaking of pride. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And as I shared, what are the works of the flesh? It lists emulations. What's the scriptural definition of emulations in Galatians 5:26? Let us not be desirous of vain glory. We don't use that term today, but by definition, it means excessive or ostentatious pride, especially in one's achievements. It could be just of who you are, what you have done. And to do so, we provoke one another. We envy one another. So putting it in modern terms, we must not be conceited or challenging one another to rivalry. We won't need to look for honors and popularity, which lead to jealousy and hard feelings. Once that spirit comes in relationships, there's a vying, there's a competition, and it is something that God hates. When it lists emulations, in verse 20, it goes on, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He goes on to say, I told you in the past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So emulations, that's desiring vainglory, it's pride, it's ambition against one another. It's right up there with murder, with witchcraft, with hatred, with heresies. And okay, you say, well, Sister Glass, you've made your point. Well and good. We are not going to do that. We are going to try to walk in humility. But let's look a little deeper at it, because sometimes there are forces, there are motives, there are things within us that sometimes we are not even aware of, we're not conscious of. That's why many times when someone is correcting you or rebuking you, that's a strong word, we don't like to be to experience that, but we need to just stop and see if whatever they're saying has any validity in truth, because sometimes we're blind to our own errors, our own faults. And if we humbly go before the Lord and ask Him and examine ourselves, because a lot of times, sometimes God, you know, iron sharpens iron, and He uses our relationships to help us be perfected in the image of Christ. And so, all right, we've decided we don't want to do that. We don't want to do, you know, we're not going to be involved in competition. But let's dig deeper. What is the root cause of that? Why do people act that way? What's the motivation for it? Perhaps sometimes if you've looked at your actions and your attitudes, you realize that, well, maybe I'm having a problem with this. Or you can certainly, we always can see problems in others. Many times, have you ever said, when you're pointing at others, there are more fingers pointing back at yourself. The things you dislike in others really strongly are maybe things that you yourself are having to deal with. But what's the motivation for ambition, for vainglory? Well, I would suggest we might consider a lack of self-acceptance, poor self-esteem. And to cover that over, there is a lifting up of self and putting others down. Why? So you could feel. You don't want to feel that way. Nobody wants a lack of acceptance about who you are and how God made you. And so, and many times we find that, you know, the people and the devil just say, well, you know what, you deserve that. You're a no good, rotten sinner. Whatever happened, that was definitely warranted. And we all can realize that without the Lord, we, you know, I don't think we need to have a competition who is the worst sinner. In fact, Paul claimed to be at the head of the list. But in fact, someone once said, and just consider this, what other people think of you is not nearly as important as what you think of yourself. What is the second commandment? Well, the first commandment, we know, love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, all that we are. We must love the Lord and respect Him and do whatever we can to please Him, to be obedient to His commands. But what's the second commandment? Because Jesus said, in these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, it's to love your neighbor as yourself. But what if you don't love yourself? You could have a problem then really having healthy relationships, because if you don't love yourself and appreciate yourself, how God made you, if you don't have self-respect, if you don't have proper self-esteem, and I'm not talking about pride at all, but there's a healthy self-regard and appreciation that God made you unique, unlike anyone else. And so we just have to recognize we all have some image of ourselves, good or bad, whatever it may be. And it affects our behavior, it affects our attitudes, our productivity, our success in life, certainly our relationships. Our thoughts produce feelings, and feelings produce actions, positive or negative. Well, my time is gone, and we will go further into this on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, I do ask you to obey the Holy Spirit. If He's moving on you, to jot down that contact information, whether it's dropping a note by snail mail or by email. And I will always certainly pray and confirm receipt. And if you would like a personal letter, because so many have been blessed by the Ministry of Correspondence, share your mailing address. I love you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.